episode yeehaw of 157 of I Said What I Said podcast. Yee fucking haw.
Oh, bitch, that tickled.
Yee haw.
I was gonna put that hat on. I'm like, I know they tired of seeing that motherfucking hat.
Yee
haw. I got another one in the tuck. I'm wearing it next week. Baby.
Yee haw.
Howdy, y'all.
Yee fucking haw on this gloomy day.
It is gloomy. This shit is whack. Monday wasn't... I don't remember Monday.
Me either.
Don't know what we even were in.
It was starting Tuesday. It's already... It started yesterday. Yeah. Bullshit. But it's going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Well, let's get the April showers out. It's the weather. This is what they're giving us.
It's going to be nice next week, though.
Great for the environment?
Yes.
We still... Motherfuckers still using plastic. We got to do something. Bring back the plastic bags to the store.
Yes. And the plastic straw.
Just bring it back.
Tired of chewing my straw.
Paper straws are the worst thing ever made.
I keep straws in my car anyway, so I just pop a plastic straw.
I'm good enough to have a plastic straw and a plastic bag somewhere in the cut. I'm sorry, environment. My bad. Leonardo DiCaprio he'd be disappointed.
He's
an environmentalist.
Well, you know my mom said...
Allegedly.
Recycling, I know, in Maryland, and I think... I forgot other thing my mom said. It's no point. They're not doing it properly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless you're really strictly enforcing paper, plastic, compost. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter. So, at the end of the day, we're going to do the best we can with what we know.
What we got.
We ain't got much.
Nope.
But yes, yeehaw. Happy birthday to everybody. Because we've been blessed.
Happy birthday.
We'll talk about it. Well, you know what? Let's start off.
Move that pumpkin thing. Move that those stuffed animals so you can get in there.
Oh, I'm sorry, third member.
Sorry.
Ducky and Goosey. Go ahead, Pooh.
Not to her.
So you and the Looney Tunes couldn't share
the bed?
Get
in bed.
All right, well. Yeah, now. Let's get into it. Our word of the week.
You're just missing an outline. You're not going in order.
Why? I'm not. Oh, yeah, my bad. Sorry, y'all.
It's the light.
It's the light.
It's a little bright.
It's blinding, but, you know, we need it. Y'all need to see us. I want to say a special prayer. Just share a moment to all the casualties and people that were affected by the Baltimore Bridge crash.
Key Bridge.
Key Bridge? Is that the name of the bridge? I just put bridge.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Okay, so yeah. When you say it all like that, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when people were saying it before to me...
Key Bridge.
I couldn't really place where it was. It was very unfortunate. The circumstances... They did come in and try to prevent as much as they could from what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. They specifically sent out a mayday. They shut stuff down. That's why there was only maybe 6 casualties that I'm hearing, but I don't know if they're still looking for people. That's another thing that I was hearing, but it could have been way worse because people were supposed to start going across that bridge at that time. But the 6 people that have been confirmed that passed away are
workers
that were working on the bridge. So it's just a very freak ass accident. Very weird.
I always question the times of like when they do road work in construction.
Well, that was before it really... That was before, like, morning traffic and everything.
No, just, like, anytime, like, I see... I always try to, like, do the math of, like...
I personally get annoyed when I'm driving and there's road work that's detouring and making me late for where I gotta go. And then I realize they're doing it because kids are probably in school and people are supposed to be at work. It's not my fault they started road work at 8:30.
Oh, no, right. I'm like, people be go to work all times a day out here. Like.
Yeah, but then during that rush hour,
yeah,
you usually don't see that road work until like right after like around 8:30, 9 o'clock when people are supposed to be heading into their job. So I guess it's a method to their madness, but it's just unfortunate that those 6
Very
people
unfortunate.
Were working on there. And
I saw that video one time, never watched it again.
I saw it by accident because I never wanted to see it.
I woke up, I got on TikTok.
I didn't know what was going on.
And I'm like, what the? And then people just kept texting. I'm like, oh my God, like.
Complete freak accident. Like, very, 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 very sad. So, like, shout outs to them. And right now, the residual aftermath of that is just everything, key ports, transits, like a whole bunch of different trucks that go through there. Chemicals are not supposed to go through certain passageways. Mm-hmm. They were using that bridge specifically for certain trucks. So it's kind of messing up what's going down in Baltimore, and prices are supposed to start rising for certain things. Mm-hmm. Somebody was saying it, but I don't really know what the correlation is to the bridge, but that's about to be the aftermath. So, you know, just shout out to prayers to everybody down there, because it's a bunch of bullshit. Hopefully they can rectify that as soon as possible. Be some weird shit going on.
Girl, you seen the thing in Taiwan? The building that was collapsed and it's tilted?
No.
Girl.
No, I see.
No, I'm just saying, like, this shit is just like...
Girl, it's first quarter and it's just... Is it first quarter still?
Yes.
January, February, March, April. So when's second quarter start?
May-ish. Are we going off of school-wise or
year-wise? I don't know no school. I ain't got no kids.
I say we would be in the fourth quarter right now if we were in school.
Oh, yeah, because they're about to be kind of done because they start in September.
The fourth quarter, I feel like it's all...
first quarter, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like...
4 months because, no, every 3 months is a quarter because it's 12 months for 4 quarters in a year. So March ended the first quarter. We're in the second quarter.
Oh.
April, May, June, third quarter... July, August, September.
How many quarters is it?
It's four. It's four quarters in a year.
So what quarter are we in now? It's
two.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, September, okay. October, November. No, that don't make no damn sense. Mm-mm. October, November, December.
We're here.
Y'all better leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't know no quarters.
When somebody says on Twitter, fourth quarter lock in, then we'll know. I'll just save it.
It's
almost
October.
Yeah.
It is.
In
3 months, niggas be getting to the bag. All right.
So we'll know then.
Hopefully. My word of the week.
Lulu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Straight like that.
Okay.
Which means... I saw this, I said, you know what? This is something I can't fuck up. This one right here, I can't mess this up. Lulu means an outstanding example of a particular type of person or thing. So you know what, Jasmine? You are very Lulu.
People would think that means crazy or delusional.
Yeah, delusional has taken on that whole... we're going to keep delulu to lulu. If anybody's saying lulu for delusional, they really just don't want to pronunciate words no more at all.
Outstanding... example. Yeah. But now somebody, you Lulu. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If they really knew, but I don't think they
don't
know.
They don't know.
And this is why I'm here to teach y'all things.
They don't know.
I'm going to be y'all teacher. Mm-hmm. Y'all going to take it, whether you like it or not. So, we here now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are all exceptional creatures. And you know who's a real exceptional creature?
Beyonce.
I wasn't going to say that.
Who were you going to say?
I was going to say me.
Sasha, please.
I was going to say me. I promise you. Because what do we need to specifically speak about when it comes to Beyonce?
Because people always refer to her as creature, like a creature.
I wasn't going to talk about Beyonce once this podcast.
Please, Sasha.
Wasn't going to bring her up.
Please.
But we are in our song mood of the week.
Beyonce.
So let's get into it. What is your song mood for this week?
I have two.
I have my
Janet Jackson Essentials playlist.
I love it.
And then I'm trying to think.
I fell in love with Janet Jackson at 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I Get So Lonely video. Music video.
Four.
Mm. Yep.
Shout out to Gracie's Corner.
Is that a children's show?
It is.
Is that what I should have been watching?
Yes.
Okay.
But it just came out though.
I had balance.
Reading Rainbow. You wasn't watching Reading Rainbow.
I was watching Barney. The Box. Barney. What?
You was watching The Box at four?
Son, music videos are...
At four?
My Way, Usher.
Four.
Those are my first memories. The I Get So Lonely video at that apartment that we was living in. Right down the street. Mm-hmm. Continue. Janet Jackson Essentials.
And I'm going to say Riverdance and Yaya. I'm just going to put it as one.
Those were Lulu choices.
Please. I don't want to hear that. I wish Shani was here. I don't want to hear that word ever again.
Lulu choices. Exceptional taste.
I don't want to hear that.
Like I said, but since you brought her up, because I did it.
Because what was your song mood of the week?
You brought her up. I did not bring Beyonce.
But that
up.
Was your song mood of the week.
No, you don't know what it could have been.
What was it?
Maybe I'm feeling a little soca. Please. A little dance hall. Please. A little Irish river dance. Please.
Y'all know what it is.
It's Cowboy Carter. Through and through. Through and through. I was going to come in here and I was going to, I'll give y'all my favorite, but it's the album. Through and through. Beautiful body of work. She does it again. She's phenomenal. She Lulu. She all that. She don't stop. She never will. Greatest artist to ever live. And we are living in, witnessing it in real time.
Over Michael Jackson?
I wasn't alive to witness the momentum of Michael Jackson. So that is why I know. No. Listen. This is why I know my feelings towards Beyonce and her work are real. Because the people that sit there and say that Michael Jackson is the greatest thing they ever seen, I believe them. Because she's the greatest thing that I've ever seen.
You was watching The Box at 4.
I was watching The Box. Channel 96. I was watching my soaps with my grandmother. And was watching The Box. When she would take her nap. But I was watching Rugrats, Barney, Cat Dog, Rocko's Modern Life.
He was sneaking.
Ren and Stimpy. No, I wasn't sneaking. My mother bought me CDs. She didn't know what the fuck was really going on. Yes, I watched the I Get So Lonely video from Janet Jackson. It's one of the first videos I remember.
For this time, because Michael Jackson has passed. You know, he has passed on. And his songs and his performances and his impact.
I believe people, it.
You know, live forever. But for this time.
It's her.
It's Beyonce.
It's her.
She does what she needs to do.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's really, that's why I don't, it's not my job to influence.
It isn't.
Anyone. There's enough people that I see that if you just let the work speak for itself, which it always fucking does, enough people can respect it. I will even have a conversation with somebody who necessarily is not a overall fan of Beyonce. But as long as you can respect the fact that she is one of the greatest, that's it. She might not even be your cup of tea. There might be a lot of music that you don't fuck with from her.
But I don't even think they're going to think that she's the greatest if they don't like her music.
They'll think she's the greatest because most of those people that I talk to, they don't really have a favorite. They're more of like, I'm going to be honest. I'll even throw it out there. I don't really like talking to people that don't listen to music. I don't. Because I find that as a weird characteristic. I find that as a character flaw. If you don't listen to music? There's people that don't care for music.
Really? What do they do?
I don't know. I can't answer that because I don't know.
That's weird.
It's very strange. That's why I say it's a character flaw. Or like music doesn't evoke some type of emotion out of you. Like I don't need you to be sappy crying all the time and just sitting there and listening to breakup songs and this, that, and the third. I don't even need you to be in love with the genre of like R&B or soul or pop or things of that nature. But for people who don't listen to music or they don't care for music, they're weirdos, period. And I'm not sorry.
She does a great job telling I like music that you visually, you know, like, and granted, I wasn't really a fan of Renaissance or whatever, but you know, people say, you know, that, you know, you can visualize and see things, but what she did on Cowboy Carter, when you hear her, you could actually visualize, like, you actually, like, and I'm just, bitch, listen on the edible.
I haven't done it yet.
Sasha.
I haven't even listened to this. I've listened to this album so completely stone sober. Stone sober. I don't know when the next time I will be inebriated, when I will be listening to this album. But I just wanted to let it play through. I said, I'm not talking about, I was excited the week before. We did get a hip hop resurgence with the Metro Boomin and the Future album and with Kendrick.
I love that too.
And all that. I love that album. Fire. But then I always realize I fell in love with Future. I love Future, but I fell in love after 56 Nights. That was my shit. But I love Future's music. That Hendrix and that Future self-titled album, that Tupac, when he do a Tupac, he getting his fucking bag. And he's actually really rapping on this album.
Future is everything.
I don't want to say all that.
Not like
any. Yes, not right.
Personal.
You're right.
Okay.
But it, lately, that is showing that it's very hard to distinguish personal from people's music.
Certain people. Certain people.
I'm just saying.
Certain people.
It's not easy. I could. What am I not going to listen to Future because he's a fuckboy? No. Sorry. No. He is. It is. That's his business. The women that he deals with, hopefully they get come out unscathed. I don't know. But back to Beyonce. Cowboy Carter is my motherfucking mood, but Hands to Heaven. Song right after Riverdance, right before Tyrant. Because I've memorized it at this point. It's top five. One of her top five songs. I don't know where to place it just yet. I will know by the end of this week. But when music, there's certain songs from Beyonce that I know exactly how much emotion it evoked out of me, and I know it's going to be one of my favorites forever. Hands to Heaven is my latest. Rocket. Me, Myself, and I. I Miss You. I Care. Rather Die Young. The whole four album, if we're being honest. And that's that album right there is what personified, what really put the beehive.
What's that album cover?
Blue Dress, Hair Wing Back. It has a four on it. And it has Love on Top.
She has so many.
Yeah. But if you see it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that album specifically is when she started to experiment.
The beach, the updo. Updo. The updo with updo. The bang. With the bang. Okay.
That was my favorite hair era. Oh, my God. But I don't even want to do too much.
She did a great job telling. She did a great job telling you the story. She did an amazing job.
Every single song, all 27 tracks. Well, some of them are interludes, but all 20 to 22 songs were absolutely needed for the times. Every single song speaks to somebody out here. I see high favorites. I see crowd favorites. I see people talking about the songs that are slept on. And at the end of the day, to put a pin in this, it's just fucking fun being a Beyonce fan. The interaction with people, the way that everybody just talks about it, the way everybody just feels inspired after listening to her music, just going into different memes and being funny and making jokes about it. Twitter has just been a ball these last couple of days.
It's crazy.
And all because of this motherfucking album. I've seen, because, you know, once I realized with X, though, it's really tailored to you. You know how when you really tailor your algorithm to see certain shit? Yeah.
I'm like, what album was that?
So Twitter, it specifically is tailored to you. So once you start to mention something, liking stuff, and that's all you see. And I am so happy that is all that I'm seeing for the past few days. I have seen nothing but Beyonce. And I will live happily in that motherfucking bubble because it's very fun over here.
I seen something somebody said when they, I guess they have like an old school car, like a throwback car. Ooh. And when they play the album, My Rose comes up as Sir. Something Sir.
Oh,
right?
Because well, somebody edited that. So no. They have an old school car. Their car probably still takes CDs because it's the physical copies. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So My Rose is some. I think My Sir or Sir.
My
or
Rose
like
is Mr.
Sir.
And then, you know, she has the song Protector for Rumi. Mm-hmm. You know. When she get her mother back, she gonna give the girls a song to sing to their babies at night. Mm-hmm. That's a lullaby done the right way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Hands to Heaven. Lullaby. That's my overall song mood of the week. That motherfucker right there. How do you mix motherfucking R&B and country and smooth it out? And the second breakdown just sound like something out of a 90s
production.
Dream.
It takes a long time.
It's a 90s wet dream.
It ain't
and
no click, copy, from, paste. It's time.
From Yaya down, all production by the Dream.
She was real like... Beep on that song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Black as fuck?
It's deeper than that.
No, I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Beep. That's when she started the Chitlin Circuit when she was talking about that.
I really like that song because like I'm talking
give me something to think about.
It really puts you like it really gives me the visual of you know those white dresses, Summer Walker, mm-hmm. like back in the day.
I think Hairspray,
the juke joint.
I hear
all of that. Yeah, like
but
all
like
of that.
Dirtier, nastier.
Yes, sweaty, yes, titties hanging. Oh,
you ever watch Idlewild with mm-hmm. Outkast?
Yes, that
the raunchy dancing
in the juke joint. Hot, yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what it gives me. And just we juke, we snap it, mm-hmm. just clap it, just oh. Mm-hmm. I'll be here for an hour talking about Beyonce if you let me. So let's move on.
2 hours.
We can go all week. It's nothing to go all week. I will put our song moods in here and we'll have it in our description when we post this episode, babies. Let's get into it. I do have an I See You play it. I'm not going out of time. I realize that was...
I didn't mean to put that. No, I put that. Did you change that? I put that underneath.
Yeah, and I moved it by accident. Don't mind me. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I know. Quavo has launched the Sparks Grants program so that awards $100,000 to Atlanta organizations in effort to minimize gun violence. Grants will be announced on June 18th to coincide with Takeoff's birthday during National Gun Violence Awareness Month.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, especially starting that initiative in Atlanta, in Georgia specifically, where it's a... I don't know if Georgia is an open carry state, but I know it's a carry state. Mm-hmm. It's probably carry and conceal.
Yeah.
I know Florida is an open carry state. You can walk around with a fucking AK if you want to. Well, not an AK, but
and
still.
I think Texas, too.
Texas is open. I think it's open carry. But for him to start that initiative following Takeoff's death, because, you know, violently gunned down, it shows that you put your money where your mouth is and you give to causes that's really gonna push something in this country, especially a place where we have the most terroristic domestic threats out of the entire world.
The entire world, baby.
Good old USA.
Good old USA. Mm-hmm.
But let's get into it. Let's break down some shit this week. A lot of things have been happening in the news, but I'm going to stay happy. I'm going to keep Beyonce in my spirits and have that album just speak to me and all the nasty negative stuff that I've been seeing circulating through the pop culture sector of the internet. I'm not with it.
I ain't been seeing shit. What's been happening?
When people do actually infiltrate my algorithm, the Diddy shit, the 50 Cent shit. All that stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's only so much that we can really talk about when it comes to the nonsense that's going on with that. Y'all can look that up. You can listen to other platforms that will bring that information to you. But what I do want to say is that April is Sexual Abuse Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. And Autism Awareness Month, too. Let me throw that in there, too.
Exactly. So, if you or anybody that you know has been...
Essayed.
In any way, shape, or form, we want you guys to seek help. And seek help on the fronts that you think that's best for you. Whether that's therapy, life coach, a hobby, a change of scenery, moving somewhere, or just being able to tell your story for the first time. Actually talking to somebody about what has happened. However you want to do that, because with that, comes into suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people out here that have never told their story, have done things to themselves, have harmed themselves and harmed people because they never resolved those issues. So we just want to take that into account and bring awareness to that because everybody knows somebody that's been violated in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. It's just very unfortunate. So let's move on to this breakdown. First story, Jasmine, you're up. Swing, bada, 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 swing. What's going on with Ramonte?
First of all,
I saw him on a trip. That's all I know.
So he went on a big trip to, I think Mexico, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't know.
How the hell did I think it was Aruba? Don't mind me.
I'm not, whatever. But he went with his group of friends or whatever, and he went to Mexico, and
the outfits were outfitting,
and he had themes and stuff, all the colors. Outfits,
that nude by the pool, I would wear that.
And Essence magazine, you know, which is black publication, but I'm just also finding out that they're like owned by Paramount Plus.
I'm not surprised. Everybody owns somebody.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah, but
like YouTube owns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, YouTube just bought somebody. Who was it? Google. YouTube bought Google Podcasts or something like that. Some shit.
For real?
Somebody always owns somebody. T-Mobile owned AT&T, AT&T owned Verizon, and Verizon owned everybody else. I don't know. It's a lot.
So basically, because Essence has said, but basically Essence magazine did an article, you know, talking about, you know, Ray Monte and saying, that a lot of more companies or places need to start, you know, opening up to Black content creators and giving Black content creators, you know, chances. Because I like maybe 2 years ago, I don't know if you saw it, but on TikTok, it was a beauty brand and they only like invited the white, you know, people on TikTok. And it was a big thing about how like they like
the beauty brands are very gifted for leaving out Black content creators.
Yeah.
They had to start a whole initiative, which was actually pushed by Jackie and I to actually be like, hey, we're here. We push your products. You make millions of dollars because we promote your shit and use your shit. So why can't we be compensated the same way? So
So basically the whole article about that, you know, like, you know, start, you know, like opening spaces for them, giving them opportunities, blah 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 blah. Nice article when you read it. Like, okay, cool.
I did see that. I did I read a little bit of the Essence article, but I didn't know what it was regarding. I didn't know what were the specifics or there was
The title was Raymonte, following Raymonte's virtual birthday trip, there's a larger conversation to be had surrounding the lack of brand opportunities for Black influencers. That was the title of the article from Essence. And it just talked about the whole thing.
So they used his birthday trip to push their initiative to talk about the lack of diversity in content creation?
Yeah.
Did they sponsor his trip?
No. Nor did they. So look, so then
I don't know how Essence was sponsored.
So then
they're talking about brands. Okay.
But no, they have Essence Fest. They have a lot of stuff.
But when I think of brand, like brand sponsorship, like my topicals, I think about milk when they Dunkin', do it, all stuff the like places, that.
Yeah.
I don't think about Essence sponsoring a trip, but I guess they're trying to bring awareness to it.
So he said, oh my God, Essence, thank you for the article, but this is kind of hypocritical. You all have invited numerous other influencers to events, never me with the same with BET. Maybe Essence does have I have a large following and my supporters keep me afloat so I don't cry over spilled milk. He's basically, you know, basically like...
Yeah, I did see that. So now I understand what he's saying.
So then, Essence, whoever's over there running at Twitter...
20-year-olds.
Essence, they came back.
These brands be wanting to clap back. Y'all have no coof. Whatever.
And they said... It has always been capital letter Essence's mission to champion creatives, amplify Black voices, and ensure that we are diversifying spaces that are non-traditional, occupied by us. Our intentions here was to introduce our audience to you as a brand, as an influencer. This trip placed you on our radar, and we believe that you are more than deserving, as the article stated. Super disappointed that this was the response to an angle of uplifting, learning more about you, and wanting brands to recognize what you bring to the table. Everything isn't for everyone, and we receive that moving forward. Wish you the best of luck. Keep going. Then it said, somebody said, Essence deleted both the article tweet and their response to Raymonte, but the internet is forever. Because if it got the screenshot, I know countless other people have it or whatever. So and then he said, why are you disappointed in my response? You didn't showcase or highlight any of my content or positive moments. So what's being introduced? Talking about everything I'm not getting while also offering me nothing but well wishes and good luck. Girl, fuck you.
I think he shot himself in the foot.
That's what I was seeing half and half. I was seeing people say half and half.
I think his response
He shouldn't have said
angry.
It. Yeah.
I think it was...
I think his response was angry because he started reading the comments about people calling him ghetto, calling him this, calling him that.
But you got to know where to place that. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, like they said, first and foremost, whoever wrote that over there at Essence, they did their big one because they're absolutely right. I've seen Essence showcase other people. I've seen Essence showcase small town podcasts that people
pay attention to Essence at all. And that's the thing.
If you don't know, and that's fine if you don't. But I've seen Essence showcase a lot of Black creatives. Mm-hmm. A lot. And I've seen when white brands will play and take Black creatives' work and try to market it as their own. I've seen Essence give credit to Black creatives. I think he shot himself in the foot.
And this is when I say this is when sometimes, like, how some celebrities and reality TV people tell you, don't read comments, because sometimes those comments and those people that support you can fuel your fire. And this is when, like, okay, you're getting bigger, so you might want to have some kind of social media manager or something and let them respond for you or tell you how to respond. Because I do get what Essence was saying, like, okay, like, as of right now, we might not have those opportunities for you. Or you never know, we can. But right now, because we're such a big brand, we're putting people on our radar. It's people that are probably brands that black brands, or maybe even, you know, white, whoever that might read articles and go through and say, hey, who can we get to sponsor, you know, exactly. Next?
A lot of these content creators that are younger, because I'm telling you right now, an OG would have never did no shit like that. The younger ones don't understand that certain publicity, not all publicity is the best, mm-hmm. but that would have catapulted you. You are a black content creator. Your birthday trip made the rounds to the point that Essence wrote an article about it. And they did shout you out. Granted, what are you looking for? You looking for a brand deal from Essence? Essence is a publication. They work with brands. Mm-hmm. Brands are brought into their publication to be marketed. Now, you could have sat there and you could have been showboated for a brand to see, okay, well, the next time he goes on a trip, I'm going to make sure he's wearing our stuff. I'm going to make sure he's using our sunscreen. I'm going to make sure they're using our lip gloss, things of that nature. But then you shoot yourself in the foot with coming off so overly angry in mm-hmm. your response for whatever reasons when it comes to Essence. If Essence invited other content creators to other events, you don't know. You just fucked up your event for this year. Mm-hmm. Your birthday trip made the rounds that Essence put it on its radar, but now they're not going to work with you because you're highly difficult. And let's not act like you were advocating for something or advocating for yourself. You weren't. It's not a basis of you being offered like something in the past. And then you mm-hmm. put BET in it too. Like, you have a chip on your shoulder. BET ain't got shit to do with Essence. Mm-hmm. But now you've put yourself on the radar for a whole bunch of other brands for motherfuckers not to want to work with you because you're difficult. I'm sorry, you shot yourself in the foot.
And he does, like you said, he does, you know, he does good things. He's done like charity drives, does everything.
Yeah, I've seen some of his work.
I was telling people, like, when people were saying like, oh, he is ghetto, he walks with the people, I said, I've seen people do fucking worse. When he walks with the people, he just gives them compliments and going about his business. So I mean, if y'all consider that ghetto, then that's on y'all. But I
know everything that's considered urban has a flair of ghetto, but when it's ghetto fabulous, or when it's championed, or when another fucking race takes it and they try to put their spin on it, then it's culture. It's diverse. It's diversifying it. But you know, everything when it's linked to black people, it's ghetto. It's a negative connotation.
I think we need
to take the negativity out of that word, but we never will.
I do think he shot himself in the foot, and then he shot himself in the foot even more because he dragged Cardi B into it.
What the fuck?
He used Cardi B. I feel like we said this before, like on the podcast and like just in general talking. It's like, you don't have to drag somebody else in your stuff to prove a point.
Prove your point. People, if you can't make an example out of something without bringing down somebody or demeaning them while you're trying to make that example, then your point is always going to be lost.
He was just saying, like, you know, like, oh, like Cardi B's ghetto and she get that. I'm just like, why you had to bring her in it? And she was upset. She responded on Twitter, but it passed by. Because she's like, to this day, she still, you know, like, still struggles with that.
Yeah, with her accent,
how to talk.
Being in these spaces with these white faces and these white figures that are paying you or trying to catapult you in some way, shape, or form. Like, still being looked down on as that. As opposed to, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I am that. Mm-hmm. It's a different way that you say that when it comes to certain people. Mm-hmm. But what the fuck does Cardi B have to be part of your example for? I'm not going to call Romante ghetto. I'm not going to call anybody ghetto. But I do have a problem when people do lack the ability to articulate themselves.
Without being aggressive in their tone, and just being like
if you being disrespectful. If I would have been like,
when they said that, I would have been like, point me in the direction. Who do you know? Who could I talk to?
Hi. I'm going on, if you guys would like to write an article, you can have somebody come out with me and film me for when I do my next group trip. Put me onto some brands that you think that I could this, that, and a third. That's how you make, I thought that was the art of networking.
And this one TikTok page is called like Nosy something. Basically, you know, people always think they fucking TikTok reporters, journalists, everything.
She has a big
following or whatever, and she was just talking about the whole article thing, and she was like something with Essence, and she was like, oh, and then I'll fly out 3 black content creators first class. Do it right now. Why do you have to wait? Why do you have to wait till numbers?
Oh, so for Essence to do it first or some shit?
Or like she said it's like something like, oh, if Essence can like something. I'm like, do it now.
She's using them for traction
like,
for her
like,
page.
Like, do it now.
She's
like,
using them for traction.
Like, do
for
it now. Page. Like, you doing a lot. Like,
they ain't nothing but a money game.
Like, do it now. Fly somebody. Give somebody else an opportunity now. Like, What are y'all talking about? But that has always been like a thing. Like, you know, I'll always say it. Like, I do, you know, feel like, you know, Black content creators are slighted the most. It's like, and it's sad.
Ramonte, I hope that you are working, since you do have this big following, your content is being noticed by bigger publications. I hope that this is the time for you to meet with somebody and let's bring back PRs. Let's bring back public relations, because I've been saying that for years. Y'all motherfuckers don't know how to talk. Have your publicist write some shit for you. Have somebody respond for you. If you are going to take on this persona of being famous, which a lot of you don't need to be, because you can't handle it and you don't know what to do with it. Mm-mm. There's some people that are made to be in the spotlight. Keith they know Lee. Exactly what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And Keith Lee is not even somebody that people would normally know what to do when it comes to being famous. But he has a humble air about him. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be feeling yourself.
Yeah.
Essence shouted you out. You should have a layer of ego, but it shouldn't be arrogance. You should have an ego because you do put out things that people want to see and you do have a following. But then you bite your foot when you sit there and you think that you don't have a level of humility. I'm never going to humble somebody for doing what the fuck they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But you need to have a level of humility inside of you so you don't do fuck shit like this. Mm-hmm. You bit your foot off, sir. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So.
And you know better, you do better.
Shit, call me Essence. Hmm. The fuck? You want to talk to me? Hi! We can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Please. Let's get into this. Agree or disagree? And you know what? This kind of goes into what we were talking about a little bit. If you're a woman and you're not a bit entitled, you're going to suffer in this life. I don't know what else I can tell you. Just by hearing that first line, do you agree or disagree? And then I'll get into what she actually explains what she means, because I feel like a couple of people are confused about what her sentiment.
I don't, maybe not suffer, but I feel like it might be a little bit harder. If you're not entitled. I feel like entitled also has a negative connotation on it. Mm-hmm. It has a negative hook right there.
Yes, right there. It's like, yep. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you're deserving of this or that?
Yeah.
But what she goes on to say is, I don't mean just feeling like you've earned things. Mm-hmm. You need the entitlement of a spoiled child as well. So you don't have to constantly justify why you deserve things in a world with no sense of fairness when you could just be getting them because. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it's a 50-50 split on how I feel about it. I do agree, but then again, let me say I do agree and leave it at that with stipulation. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to say I disagree. I don't disagree. I feel like you do need to move in this world with a certain amount of ego, but that ego it needs to come from a place of
positivity, not negativity.
Positivity, and it needs to come from an evolved place. Mm-hmm. Because ego can be a detriment to people.
Yeah.
And that arrogance that I was just talking about with Ramonte, a lot of people stay on that hill.
Yeah.
And they never evolve over to the other side where it's not that. Mm-hmm. You're not entitled to shit in this world. We do have to work. But once you work hard, you should walk around like, yes, I deserve this.
Yes.
And you shouldn't have anybody sit there and tell you that you're not going to get that. Or you're not going to be able to do what you want to do. But you have to work to that. I do believe in hard work. I don't believe in suffering within that hard work all the time.
Right.
But I come from the standpoint of ambition. It's just the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. I hear all the time this soft life, soft life, soft life. Mm-hmm. I feel like people need to really break down the realities of it. Yes, making more money, doing things that speak to your well-being, your self-care. Like, I don't know anybody that sits, or I don't have any women in my life that have just sat around and then they've just been given this soft life that everybody is promoting now. It's a big ass thing. Even these brands
that we're just talking about. Because at the end of the day, for you to be able to have that soft life that time, you have to work
for it. You have to work for it. Now, when I work for these soft life amenities that everybody is talking about, there is not a person on this motherfucking planet that can tell me that I don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. I hate when motherfuckers come up to you like, oh, you got money or big money or this, that, and the third. Yeah, because I worked my ass off early mornings and late nights so that I can go on my vacations, saving and grinding so that I can spend and I can buy this. I can look this way. I can eat this way. I can talk this way. I can have these experiences. I believe that you do have to have a certain amount of, if she's going to use the word entitlement, mm-hmm. but after hard work, you cannot be entitled when you haven't done shit mm-hmm. to get what you think you're entitled for.
Yeah.
And I think that's a disconnect what I have with a lot of younger people when I speak to them. Their hand is out. Mm-hmm. And they expect it. And that might come with a certain amount of, what's that word that we talk about? When something is given to you. It's not coming to me right now. But we've spoken about it before.
Silver spoon.
Yeah, but you know the word I'm talking about. It's like your parents worked hard so you don't have to want for...
Nepotism.
It's a certain amount of nepotism that they have where... I think it's an injustice to these parents, especially us millennials. I got schooled on Twitter. This girl told me, I thought, this is a sidetrack, but it's coming back. I'm trying to round around and make a point. I thought that the baby boomers was before us, like our parents. They're not baby boomers. They're Gen X.
Baby boomers is like our grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's Gen X. Mm-hmm. Then it's millennials. Then it's Gen Z. Mm-hmm. And then it's some alpha pseudo something. That's going to be our kids. That's going to be our kids. Our kids ain't even Gen Z no more. So, needless to say, Gen X, millennials, mm-hmm. all of us, there's a certain amount of ambition that we have to... that I think that people need to instill back into their children. I'm not telling you to make your kids struggle or go through the adversities that you had to go through, but the amount of entitlement without work that this generation coming up, Gen Z and the ones after, the way that they move, it's crazy. Like, how old is Ramonte? He gotta be Gen Z.
I don't know, 20-something?
Yeah, he's Gen Z. You see how that... air of arrogance as opposed to that level of humility for actually even being seen and taking that and run with it. Like, I don't know. I do feel like women, and I know she's speaking to us specifically, but I do believe that women need to have a certain amount of entitlement. But that's because we more than likely we're the bitches that are working the hardest.
In 2022, he was 22. He just turned 24.
Yeah, he's Gen Z, baby. That's a baby's mindset. Mm-hmm. That's a baby's mindset. And, I mean, you got to kind of give grace to a certain extent. Maybe he'll learn something from this. Learn something from this, as Tyra would have said. That bitch was messy. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that women need to walk around with a certain sense of entitlement.
Hold your head up.
I can't. I'm always going to be a bitch that comes from ambition and hard work so that I can live my soft life. Mm-hmm. As the kids say.
Now you're going to scoop me up.
Listen. Talk about it, baby.
Like an ice cream scoop.
We're going to side eye this one. Uh-oh. We're going to side eye this one. I don't know. I wanted to have a little fun. Let's just shake shit up a little bit. What? Come straight to your head. Don't think about it too hard. What is a sex flaw that you have?
Like that I do?
Yeah. It ain't about them. It's about you.
That's a sex flaw that I do.
Something that you can identify. And they have some examples in the in this thread. I don't know if you identify with any, but I saw it and I was just
wait,
like,
wait, which you
know
one what? Did you click?
Number two. That's the side eye.
No, you skipped less talk. On purpose?
No. I think I probably shouldn't wear shades with these glasses.
Okay, well, hold on.
We could always bounce back on. Okay. Let me see did I put this in order for some reason? No, I ain't put shit in order. We bounce around. Topics on topics.
A sex flaw.
A flaw.
I don't know. Give me some examples.
I'm going to give you some examples. Because when I saw it, I was like, a sex flaw? I'm like, I got no goddamn flaws. But then again.
I'm sure I do.
If you talk to somebody, they might have told you something different. But I don't know. So let's see some examples in the thread and see if we identify with any of these. I get turned off easily. I just moan. I don't talk unless you're talking to me. I'm lazy, but I was... What? Okay, I was about to read some shit. I'm just going to put her first part. I'm lazy in bed.
Okay.
I be so in the moment that I don't feel what's going on. I am a quickie girl. I literally do not have all night. I'll giggle and ruin the moment if something is funny. Everybody's saying they don't see that it's a flaw or not, just unique characteristics that make you right. who you are. I deadass don't care if you nut or not. That's a flaw.
That's a flaw.
Talking about. I don't know necessarily what could be a flaw. I've had situations, I have reoccurring things that has happened in intimate settings that might be considered a flaw.
I don't know.
I really don't know. Because then you think about it, even if it was a flaw for somebody else, it might not
be a flaw, for
that other person. Another
person.
Oh, I have a flaw.
What?
Why'd you get nervous? Sometimes after I climax, mm-hmm. I'll cry.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, I think it's linked to something mental, but I don't know what it may be. But yeah, sometimes if I climax, but it only happens with people that I really, really like.
Okay.
Like in love with, if sometimes after like a really strong climax, I can cry.
Maybe you're sad because it's like, it's happy tears.
I've laughed too.
Oh.
So is that a flaw though? I've literally like giggled.
No, it's like,
no,
like that.
It's a, like, like a giggle. It's why? Not cute. I don't know. I read somewhere that sometimes when you have a certain amount of serotonin, you know, like that good, happy feeling, mm-hmm. and you just get euphoric, you have certain emotional outbursts. So sometimes it could be crying, sometimes it could be laughing. And I've experienced both of those.
Mm.
Now, I'm not laughing at you, hon. I'm sorry. But
okay, maybe sometimes, like for me, it's like, okay, this is like for me. If like we're doing it foreplay or whatever, and we're in, you know, and I just YouTube, so I have to kind of be like censored because it's YouTube.
Do we?
This is my okay. My thing. I would like to know. I would like to know beforehand. Like okay, like if we're foreplay, whatever, giving head, that's fine. But like, if you don't come off of head, let me know because I'm not doing it for a long time.
I see why that would be considered a flaw, but I think that's a lot of...
Just, I don't like that. Like,
but it's kind of hard. But these niggas be capping. A lot of niggas be capping.
They be
I don't come off head. And they do. They do.
It's like, it's fucking, the damn show is over. Like, can we do something now? Like,
you don't know who you don't ever really know who you're fucking with until you're fucking with them. So if the power of the throat...
The power of the throat happens.
You might, and I'm gonna give you benefit of doubt.
Right.
You might be a guy that doesn't come off of head normally.
Yeah.
But you don't know who you're gonna get met with.
Not just get an attitude, so I'm just yeah. like.
You don't know who you're gonna get met with. Now, them motherfuckers that really don't be coming off of head, that shit's annoying as fuck.
Like, the gig is up. Like, please. Like.
Something's going to have to happen. First of all, if you know you don't come off of head, then we shouldn't even be going this
no,
long.
No, it shouldn't.
Get your 1-2, get your rocks on. You rock, you hard, let's go.
Are like, you fucking kidding me?
Let's go. It's that simple. It's that simple. Like, we don't have to do this marathon throat game. We don't. It's not the Olympics. Not the Energizer. We don't have to keep going and going and going.
No.
Speaking of keep going and going and going, I think a sex flaw, another one that I have is maybe for lack of vetting my partners, when they're done, I can become, in my past, I have become brat-like because I can keep going. So I think that's a flaw. I don't try to shame anybody for their shortcomings, but...
Sasha.
What?
I feel like a guy gets emptied out, though.
No, I do. Yeah, and you know, our sexual peak goes up when we get older. Sometimes men, theirs comes down. Mm-hmm. So I think that I've always been just right here with a lot of the sexual partners that I've had. And we've just never met right mm-hmm. here where I've never met anybody that has the same mm-hmm. appetite that I do. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's a sex flaw. Mm-hmm. Like, I could probably go a couple of more hours and they're done after
the It won't be a sex fall when you meet the person that's on the same level as you.
And that's what I'm saying. It could be a flaw for now. You know, maybe it's a temporary characteristic. A sex uh-oh is hilarious. Please. But you know what? It is what it is. Let's get into this. Let's talk about it. Teach your daughters that it is more to life than male attention. And then somebody replied and said, the mothers have to understand that first. So when I saw this, I was like, wait a second. First of all,
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe some mothers that put men before their children. Maybe.
I've seen it too. I just want to just have commentary on it. I've seen it two different ways. Mm. I see certain mothers that give... They put their whole existence through the male gaze, mm-hmm. and everything is male attention. I've seen it be very detrimental, mm-hmm. to not just their female children. I've seen this be negative to male children as well. I've seen mothers literally catapult and put their partners over their children. Mm-hmm. That's number one. I've seen it on that aspect, and I've seen it on the aspect where the children. And sometimes the children do take, sometimes with the girls, with the daughters, mm-hmm. they end up emulating that. Yep. So everything's about a nigga. Mm-hmm. Or they do the opposite and they end up resenting their mother. Mm-hmm. Or I've seen even sons end up having this disgusting sense of entitlement because their mother put all of this
before them.
Put all of this energy before them, and they think that's how a man is supposed to be treated by a woman. She's mm-hmm. supposed to do everything, neglect every part of herself and her children for a man. Mm-hmm. So I know that we sit here and we say, teach the mothers first when it comes to not giving your daughters male attention. But what I really wanted to break down was, do you think that there, in that message, some things could be kind of lost? I don't want to say male attention, but do mothers need to teach their daughters how to cater to men more? I think that's the question I'm asking.
Do you think
that's lacking in the society that we live in now?
Maybe when the girl is older, and maybe like if she is, you know, with a guy or whatever, and, you know, maybe she asks her mom for advice, you know, how to do this more or do that more, but to, like, that should not be, like, a thing.
I don't know, because I feel like it's two sides of a coin. They have the hyper-independent mother that instills complete feminine independence mm-hmm. on their daughters. Don't give any romantic inclinations to any of these men. Don't give them any type of love. Don't look at them as anything other than a concubine or a come up, even if they're not saying it in that way. There's a lot of hyper independent women because they had to do things by themselves, that they instill that and they teach that to their daughters. And then when you're going out into the world and you're trying to form romantic or intimate mm-hmm. connections with the opposite sex, they don't know how to do that because they never seen it. Or their mother always told them, men ain't shit.
Yeah.
You don't need a man for anything. We've had that conversation before. Mm-hmm.
And then, like a single mom.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I feel like, you know, because I saw the way, like, how my grandmother interacted with my grandfather and how my mom, you know, at the time, how she treated and did for my stepdad at the time. Yeah. So I feel like I kind of know. My mom always let me be a kid. I was always a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, it never was, we never had, like, those kind of, like, conversations about having to cater, you know, like, to a man. Like, mm-hmm. we've had, like, now that where I'm at the age where, you know, I consider, like, my mom, like, my best friend. Like, we're at the age we could talk about things like that. But we never, like...
Yeah. I think it needs
I've
to
never
be
had
healthy.
To ever seek, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, male, like, that never was a thing. Like, now, don't... She would always be like, you know, don't get wrapped up in these boys. You know what I'm saying? That's typical.
I think that's a way of putting it that is age appropriate.
Yeah.
So I think you probably have had those conversations with her, but it's just been more age appropriate, yeah, as opposed to, mm-hmm, you sitting down with a 6-year-old and telling them, listen, don't let these boys give you all this attention, this, that, and the third. I do think that there is something to the correlation of teaching your daughters that being completely and utterly invested in a man's attention,
yeah,
and then your mother probably showcasing some of that, those characteristics when you guys are in the household. I mean, I do see a detriment to it, because, mm-hmm, I've even said it myself. Even when you're friends with somebody who is nigga boy hungry, crazy, boy crazy, it's very hard to stay friends with, mm-hmm, them. Like, everything has to literally be driven around, if we going out, is niggas gonna be there? Mm-hmm. If we're doing anything, men have to be involved. If you're going anywhere, they, and a drop of a dime, they're gonna leave with a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll leave you out there by yourself, even if it's the two of you. Like, I haven't had too many experiences where girls that are like that, because once I see that first sign of them just being all for niggas and penis, mm-hmm, I have to remove myself, because it's a blinder in front of you when you're doing that. Mm-hmm. You don't know camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about on a platonic female level. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to be a friend at that point, because everything is for the nigga gaze. Mm-hmm. And I can't sit there and correlate it to her being taught that, because, you know, like,
you could be taught the opposite. And when you get on your own, you do what the fuck you want to do.
Or you could go in the aspects of niggas ain't shit, this, that, and the third. Or you can even have a healthy balance of it. But if you're looking for male validation through different things, i.e., the girls with daddy issues or personified, mm-hmm, daddy issues or whatever the case may be, they could be looking for validation through men because they never, yeah, had it. Mm-hmm. So then what do you say to somebody like that when they're seeking?
It's tears to that.
I think it all boils down to self-awareness, mm-hmm, and levels of knowing your inner child and who you are, mm-hmm, so that when you become an adult, you don't have to go through these things, and, yeah, you don't have to hurt as much throughout this thing called life, because we're going to hurt regardless. We all going to have our lessons, but I don't know. It was just something that I saw, and it just made me side-eye, like, yeah, let's see if the two make sense. Mm. I've seen it both ways.
Yeah, so. I get it.
I've seen it both ways. Mm. Listen, that male attention, sometimes it ain't good.
People ain't all cracked up to what it is.
Learn. Mm-hmm. That goes into a whole nother level of being objectified, this, that, and the third. This is another conversation I'm going to bring up next week with, mm-hmm, that. So, you know, side on there. Let's get into this scenario. You sent this to me, mm-hmm, and I just really want to talk about it, because I read it, and I think I'm not confused on what the fuck I was reading, but let's break this down in real time. I just moved in my own place, and my mom lives with me. But my brother asked me for a key to my place and said, when I get a key, and I told him, you'll get a key to mine when I get a key to yours. Mm-hmm. You get,
yeah, you said it right.
So,
and I said, when I get a key to yours, you can get a key to mine.
Boom. Mm-hmm. So his wife, her brother's wife, asked my mom for her key and made copies, and I'm very upset about it.
He said, I'm tripping. No, so while I'm at work, his wife asked my mom for her keys. Yo, these fucking numbers be stressing me out sometimes. Just F-O-R.
Nobody want to use words no more.
His wife asked my mom for her key and made copies. And I'm hot right now. They swear I'm tripping. I read it and I was like, she ain't tripping. They would never get a motherfucking key again.
I don't understand why people don't understand
mama would boundaries. And did you read, like, the thread she was saying?
I was reading the thread.
She changed the lock. Somebody's like, change the locks and give your mom a key. I don't know about that.
No. So I asked my brother right now, why do you need a key to my place? He said, as long as my mom is there, I'm going to have a key. But it's literally only in my name. I just feel very disrespected. I'm the only girl. I'm the youngest. So I'm tired of being walked all over. That's a whole other issue, yeah, besides that. What I don't get is why the wife was implemented into this to call her mother-in-law to get a key. Clearly, you didn't explain the situation to your brother feeling walked all over, this, then a third.
But mama,
what does, if your mother, it'd be different as long as my mother is there. If your mother was living by herself, then I can understand why you need a key. She's with your sister. Your mother has a phone. So if your sister is not there, mm-hmm. and I don't know how old this woman is, I'm guessing very elderly, mm-hmm. to the point where he has that type of concern. That's gonna fine. Great for you, son of the fucking year. Mm-hmm. But if I tell you I don't want you to have a key to my place, I don't want you to have a key to my place. I don't even like her putting the stipulation, I'll give you a key when you get a key. Y'all clearly not close like that to do that. Y'all not close like that, and that's cool and fine. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, of course my sister's going to have a key to my place. Of course this and the third. But I have to understand that not all sibling is like dynamics are the same. And mm-hmm. some people are just not that close with their siblings, mm-hmm. or they have, you know, they've had their ups and downs and they've fallen out, they've gotten back together, whatever the case may be. But what do you mean if my mother is there? If there's an issue or a problem, you can call mommy.
I'm
going
to have to tell my mama, look,
you
I'm
can talk to me. Locks. Get her a life alert. Hmm. If I don't want you to have a key to my place, it's just the...
We don't even know she's that elderly.
My nigga, she might not be. But even on top of that, then you're really doing it for no reason. It's the audacity for the wife to come in now. Were you sent by the brother?
Probably.
The wife? Or did you take it upon yourself like, oh, she not giving you the key? Fuck it, I'm going to do it. Because who the fuck are you?
She made copies.
She made copies. How? Why do you have copies to my apartment? Do you pay rent here?
And I'm going to tell my mama, look, I'm changing my locks and I'm getting a key. If you give anybody my key and make copies, we're going to have to make different arrangements. You can go live with him and his wife.
If he's that concerned, why didn't she move in with him? Because I told you what it was.
Y'all got to start respecting people's boundaries, friends, family, coworkers, whatever. Respect people's boundaries.
You trying to bully the little sister as the big brother and thought that she was supposed to just give you what you wanted. Bro. And then you put in reinforcements with your wife like she's not supposed to be upset. I told your brother something. Now my sister-in-law thinks that she can sit there and make copies of my apartment key. And why are you making copies? Why the fuck do you have more than one key to my apartment? I don't know how close the sister-in-law and dynamic is supposed to be. But if I wanted to give you a key, if I didn't give my brother a key, why do you as his wife think that you're about to make copies and you have one for yourself? Mm-hmm. That's very strange. And if it's one of two things. If you that motherfucking concerned, move mama in with you or get her a life alert.
Yep. Period.
The hell y'all talking about?
Simple as that.
These scenarios be fucking blowing my shit.
People be going through it. Like.
Please, what are we ever talking about? I told you no, sir. No is no.
Yeah, we gonna have a talk, mama, because what is this? What are you doing? And sister-in-law, girl,
she
don't get changed.
I think that's what got me the most hot.
Well, sister,
why are you coming? Now, I spoke to your husband. Your husband was told no, and then you took it upon yourself to say, no, we gonna do what we wanna do.
Sister. Be a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner.
It's gonna be very awkward. I'm gonna make it that way. Move on in with y'all. Stupid. Miscellaneous question of the week. What are we going with? We have three, actually. I know the other two are big for some reason.
Yeah, that's why I was like this when I was looking at it.
Apple does what Apple wants to do.
Let's do, you know, I love TV. Let's do as seen on TV.
So as soon as TV, I seen on TV, what celebrity, what sitcom couple was your favorite and why?
Oh my God, favorite sitcom. Because, you know, I love this.
I love this.
Favorite sitcom couple.
Yes.
I would have to say Jay and Michael Kyle for My Wife and Kids.
Side note, I saw something this week and I know a lot of people, they might have been tussling in the thread, but I didn't care. I just wanted to keep it to what I saw. Somebody said Martin versus My Wife and Kids. And they said, if we're being honest, My Wife and Kids was the better show.
But why do they compare certain shows that are not supposed to be comparable?
I agree. But you know how I feel about Martin.
That's like a family show.
I think My Wife and Kids was funnier than Martin. I agreed with it. I don't find Martin funny.
We know.
So I just like when I'm seen. Sometimes I don't have to know the person.
No.
I don't have to talk to them. I just like sometimes when I see something on Twitter and I'm like, you understand me. Like every week somebody's saying Love and Basketball is one of the worst movies in Black history. And I like when my words are validated. I don't never gotta retweet it. I don't gotta put my stamp on it nowhere. I see you, brother. I see you, sister.
A nigga would have me outside
playing basketball. You better best three suck out of five. My
boo. I wish a nigga would gaslight me, cheat on me, because he found out his daddy was cheating on his mother. I wait around for 10 years. He gets engaged on me, and then I come back, and he beats me with a bum knee in basketball, and then I take him back and have his baby.
Banging on the window like an idiot.
We ain't got to do that. If y'all want a big, if y'all want a really big breakdown of certain black movies, like why Terry was not wrong in Soul Food. If you really want us to break down why Waiting to Exhale is a coming of age movie, but was very detrimental for the black woman. If you really want to break down how everybody in The Best Man was a motherfucking villain, because we need to break down these movies. The only wholesome movie, the only two black movies that I could say were it from top to bottom, Brown Sugar and The Wood. That's it. That's it. The rest of them, I found faults in every single one of them motherfuckers, and it's bad. The classics. We can talk about it. We could do a whole black movie breakdown.
Yo, I was cracking up because also when they said in Dreamgirls, they was like, Dina wasn't shit either. And I'm like, you're right.
She wasn't.
You're right.
Curtis was supposed to love me, and Dina was supposed to be your friend. Beyonce was a bitch in that movie. She does everything so listen.
She played a phenomenal.
I used to practice that song in the mirror.
I stood up and clapped and cried when she sang that in a movie theater. Because she sang.
You are so drama.
She sang.
You are all drama.
She sang.
You are all
she sang. Drama. Because why would he do that? And now that I'm watching it back, I was like, why the fuck was I standing up? Because it wasn't even that. It was good, but it wasn't even like that. Like, stand up for applause. It wasn't.
Can you stop making me gut laugh? Because you hear me bad. You making me fucking bad. What is my favorite sitcom couple was Maxine and Kyle from Living Single.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been getting had on and off. On and off.
It was that frenemies to lovers dynamic. And it's infuriating. It was infuriating. It was sexy. It was intimate. It was intellectual. They would spar with words. They would come for each other, but deep down, everybody knew they was fucking feeling each other. I like that shit. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of toxicity in me, you know? Just a little bit.
I love it.
I like it. Let's play around like we don't really fuck with each other. Even on some... And they were Sneaky Links before Sneaky Link was a Sneaky Link thing. Yeah. They were the original Sneaky Link curves. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know how to do it right, go watch Living Single. That's a comfort show.
All the 90s sitcoms
they're comfort
and comfort shows in like early 2000s.
Absolutely.
Comfort shows like absolutely. I fucking was smiling like ear to ear on Twitter when they posted Flex Alexander and their daughter. I was like cheesing. I was like, oh my god, because you know when you hear certain things, it just like sparks something. It's like damn, because the world today is fucked up.
I didn't know he was married to that woman.
Yeah, Shanice.
Yeah, I did not know that
she was on the show. In the show, too,
I was 8 years old when I found out. Look at that.
It had a whole show on the Oprah. I think it was. The Oprah Winfrey Network, baby, they went through it. Like, financially.
Oh, remember I remember clips from that, but I never watched it.
They was like, they lived with their whole family. Like, they went through it. But they came out.
Came out. Mm-hmm. That's all you gotta persevere.
First of all, you know I seen this clip?
What?
About Aretha Franklin. Do you know? I knew she was shady, but Miss Girl was shady. Did you see when she had an interview? And somebody said something about, like, her tax problem. She said, I'm not broke. That's Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Did you? Sasha.
That's not the first time that somebody has known Toni Braxton. Because, you know, Toni Braxton was the first person
to go bankrupt, right?
To go bankrupt. So everybody used her as the example. Everybody used Toni Braxton as the example.
You have Versace plates.
But people don't even know. That's a little trick the riches do to put that bankruptcy on in that Title 10. So they ain't got to pay all that. 50 Cent put that out.
Sure did.
That messy motherfucker. But neither here nor there. But that is a wrap on episode 157 of
The podcast.
We get it.
Of the podcast.
Listen, all of our socials will be listed down below. Make sure that you like, subscribe, view this motherfucker 1,000 times. You can comment. You can review us. You can rate us on Apple. Mm-hmm. You can be mean if you want, but don't.
Yeah.
Because why?
Bye.
All right. Bye, you guys.
Bye.